Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Kids Open Forum today for a Friday. We like doing fun stuff on Friday, and there's probably not very many things more fun than getting kids' questions about God, about Jesus, about morals. And what a cool kid that called just before the break there with a question about how to talk to his friends about really serious moral issues, 14 years old.
Absolutely. I mean, it's good. We have not just, I think of kids. I mean, it's really anybody under the age of 18. And so people who can, even high schoolers, have important questions to ask us. And it's great they're willing to see he's like one of the few Catholics in his school.
Yeah,
willing to make a stand, and people are asking him questions. That's why it's important. We have to train, not just share, we shouldn't treat formation as some kind of a Sunday school in the sense that our job is just to tell kids Bible stories and saint stories. We need to prepare them, not just merely entertain them or share stories. Stories can be helpful. They can share instructive lessons in the faith, but we have to prepare them for the challenges, even at 14, a freshman in high school. Honestly, by the end of elementary school, children will be facing challenges to their faith. They'll have kids asking them tough questions who disagree with them. So we have to prepare them at the level they're appropriately prepared to be able to give those answers.
Yeah, yeah.
Taking into mind their age, their maturity, things like
sure.
that.
Sure. But you got to think there's some impressive parents or grandparents or something mm-hmm. behind a kid. I mean,
and if
I
want to
take the credit away from him, but that seems like a family project to have a kid that cool.
Absolutely. And I would also recommend, if you want a good resource, especially how to prepare your kids to talk about moral issues like abortion or transgender or homosexuality, Layla Miller, who's a mom of eight, and myself co-wrote a book, Made This Way, How to Prepare Kids to Talk About Tough Moral Issues.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So we've got the arguments, but also Layla's practical experience as a mom of just how to explain this to kids, both little and big. It's called Made This Way, How to Prepare Your Kids to Talk About Tough Moral Issues.
We're going to take a few more calls this hour. We'll be able to get some more calls in. So if you are a kid and you have permission to dial the phone, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. If you're too young to dial the phone and you can get an adult to do it for you, same number, 888-318-7884. And any kid is welcome to call from anywhere. 888-318-7884. As a matter of fact, let's just start this hour off with a call. We'll start with Anne Marie in Kansas. Excuse me, Anna Marie. Are you there with us, Anna Marie?
Yes.
And how old are you, Anna Marie?
10.
And how's the weather in Kansas?
Getting cold.
Oh, okay. All right. I had my suspicions, but you confirmed them, Anna Marie.
Anna Marie, what I used to live in Kansas. What part of Kansas do you live in?
The cold part?
She lives in
Central.
Central. Okay, yeah. I might be that far. I used to live in Wichita. So I used to live in Wichita, Kansas for 2 years. And yes, I do remember it getting pretty cold there.
I heard they have really good barbecue in Kansas. Did you have good barbecue in Kansas?
Midwest has some pretty good barbecue. Texas is still number one on my list, though Kansas City is a very close runner-up.
How about you, Anna Marie? Have you ever had barbecue?
Yeah.
You have good barbecue in your part of Kansas?
Yeah.
All right.
What's your question?
Is purgatory in time and space?
Ah, very good question. Why don't we go to the Catechism and see what the Church teaches about purgatory and what we can glean from that? So this is in paragraphs 1030 and 1031 of the Catechism. It says, "All who die in God's grace and friendship, but still imperfectly purified, are indeed assured of their eternal salvation. But after death, they undergo purification, so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. The Church gives the name purgatory to this final purification of the elect." So notice what it says here in the Catechism. Purgatory is not a name that refers to a specific place. Purgatory is a name that is given to the process that those who die in God's friendship undergo, in that they are purified before they enter into heaven. So purgatory, whatever purgatory is, we can say that it's definitely in time. It's in time because it's a process. So time is just a measurement of change. When things change, that's how you know time is moving. So purification means you go from less holy to more holy. And if you're growing in holiness after death and you're being purified, that's taking place over a period of time. Now, we don't know exactly what that time is like, because time, even in our own universe here, time can move at different speeds for people. So in one part of the universe, it may seem like time is moving slowly. In another part, it seems like it's moving a lot faster. Time may feel different in purgatory, but time will be present there for those who are in purgatory being purified. But space is a different issue, because what's being purified are the souls of those who died in God's friendship. I guess, Anna Marie, how big is your soul? What do you think of that question? Is your soul made of anything?
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't know. I have no idea how to answer that question,
well,
Anna Marie.
Your soul, our souls are the thing, the principle that makes our bodies alive. And our souls, unlike our bodies, the difference between a soul and a body is made up of stuff and a soul is not. So since a soul is not made up of stuff or matter, it doesn't occupy space. And so when we talk about purgatory, it's not so much a question of like a location of where it is, because we're dealing with souls that aren't made of stuff. Rather, it's a process souls undergo in the next life, and that goes through a process of time. So does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anna Marie, you are a good sport and a good caller. Thank you very, very much for calling us. I hope you'll have a Merry Christmas, okay?
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Our number here is 888-318-7884. It is Kids Open Forum today. Kids can call with any question that they have on Christianity, on Jesus, if you have a question about God, if you have a question about right and wrong. Trent Horn is here to answer those questions. Trent Horn is an apologist here at Catholic Answers, a noted public speaker and debater, and he is also the author of many books, including most recently Counterfeit Christ. He's got a forthcoming book. Tell me that it's the socialist one, right?
Yes, it's Can a Catholic Be a Socialist? And I am co-authoring that with Catherine Pakulik, who is an associate professor of economics at the Catholic University of America. So we talk about the theology and history and ethics behind the claim that Catholics can endorse socialism. We talk about what socialism is. It's popular now among a lot of people. And we reinforce the church's constant denunciation, condemnation of socialism ever since socialism was first formulated in the mid-19th century. And even in its different permutations today, still Catholics, our thesis is that they cannot endorse socialism, and we lay it out very explicitly in our book about how it's contrary to human good and the teachings of the church. So,
well, since it's a kid show today, though, say yes. A kid called up and said that they were anti-capitalist, but from a communitarian bent and not necessarily with socialist implications. What would you say to the kid?
I would say, What policy do you have with the toys that you're playing with? So does everyone have to play with them equally, all the kids down the street? Or are you capable of having an allowance to get some yourself? I would wonder who has introduced him to these principles, but I would want to tease them out from this individual.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number. Catherine, I see you sat back down on the seat. I've got some calls coming in and we're going to get to them. But do you have a question that you wanted to ask before we go to the kids who are calling?
Yes.
Okay, Catherine Staples, your question.
If Mary said no to the angel Gabriel, what would happen?
Ah. Because she said yes, and then she became the mother of God, and we got Jesus, right? So what would happen if she said no?
I don't know either.
Let's find out. All right. Trent Horn.
And I would say that I don't know is a very good answer to that question. What I would say is we could know is that if Mary said, I do not want to bring Jesus, God the Son, into the world, she would not have, because it was freely her choice. So all we can know definitely is that if Mary had said no to the angel Gabriel, if she had said, I do not want to be the handmaid of the Lord, then she would not have been. But after that, we don't know. God could have asked someone else to bring his son into the world, or God could have become man without even being born of a woman. He could have just taken on a human body. He's omnipotent. He can do anything. He could just take on a body. But here's the thing. He wanted to be just like you or me. So do you have a mom?
Yeah, everyone does.
Every human being does have a mom. So God wanted to be just like every human being. And he had a mom too. And does Jesus still have a mom?
Yes.
And what's her name?
Mary.
Of course. So that's Mary is her mother. So here's the thing. We should be like Jesus, right?
Yes.
And so Jesus honors his father and his mother.
Yeah, but wait, we all can't be just like God because we can't do anything and we can't be good all the time. We all have to sin once in our lives, except God doesn't need to if he doesn't want to because he could do anything.
Catherine has given this a lot of thought, clearly, and yet it is true. It is the common lot of human beings that we sin and fall short.
Well, Catherine, let me ask you this question. Should you try to do good, even if you can't always do good? Should you always at least try to do good?
Yes.
Okay. So, of course, Jesus always tried to do good, and he always did because he's God, and we can be like him. That you're right, we do sin in this life, but also we can be imitators of Christ. St. Paul once said this. He said in 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said, "Be imitators of me as I am of Jesus Christ." So our job is to imitate Christ as best we can, and the best way to imitate Christ is to read about him, and maybe we could receive him in the Eucharist. Do you think the Eucharist would help you be more like Christ?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, I guess there's only one way to find out, right? We should probably go receive him at Mass, and then we can find out. Well, thank you so much for stopping by. It's been a treat to have you here.
Thank you very much, Catherine. We better take a quick break. It's Kids Open Forum. We do have kids on the line, so we'll get to the kids on the line when we come back right after this.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Guarini, host of The Doctor Is In. A blessed Advent to you leading up to Christmas time. The greatest story ever told. The God of the universe becomes a baby, one of us. Look forward to that one. Don't get caught up in all the Christmas stuff without paying attention to the greatest story ever told.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's Kids Open Forum today. If you have a kid who would like to call, 888-318-7884 is the number. If you are a kid who'd like to call, just get permission and then get your hands on that phone and call 888-318-7884. If your question is about the sacraments, if it's about Jesus or Mary, if it's about God, if it's about what's right and what's wrong, all of those questions are very, very welcome. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884.
Free ebook pitch. We've got a brand new ebook we've just released, and it's free. Oh, come let us adore him, an Advent companion. Visit shop.catholic.com today and look for the banner at the top of the page to download your free copy.
Nice job, Luke. Nice
that
job.
Was wonderful.
Appreciate that.
Si, I think you should read the headers along with them more. Announcement before commercial.
Luke did a great job.
I think it's great.
Right?
I think you need to do that more.
He did a great job. Valerie Staples here with us because Anthony has a question now. And Anthony, I know how old you are. Anthony is 16 years old, right? 16?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
No, you're not.
Oh. How old are you really, Anthony?
How old are you, Anthony?
Well, I forgot.
You forgot?
You're five.
Could it be five?
Tell me, I just were five.
Yeah.
You're 5 years old. Anthony, have you ever been on a boat?
No.
Was he on the Alaska cruise?
Yes, he was.
No, you were.
That's
you.
Funny. But it was before you were born, Anthony.
No, he was a little guy.
No, Anthony, you actually have been on a boat once.
And he was there with us.
Oh, you were a teeny tiny baby. That's what they're talking about.
5 years ago, I was on a cruise, on a big boat, on a cruise to Alaska, and your dad was there, And your mom was there. And I thought about bringing, I have a little boy who's about your age. He's a few months younger than you. His name's Matthew. He's 4. Mm-hmm. And I almost brought him, but I was worried he might not have a good time. Mm-hmm. But he probably would have had a good time with
you. And look at how good Anthony turned out.
Because you were crawling all over the place. The boat was rocking. And your mom would set you down. And you were right out the room.
Anthony, do you have a question that you would like to ask?
Yeah.
Go ahead with your question.
How do angels have wings?
Do angels?
Excellent question. Angels and wings. Because I know that in your family, every Christmas you watch a movie called It's a Wonderful Life.
Our favorite.
You know that movie?
Yeah, but like that movie.
You better not tell your dad that. Okay,
Anthony, you know what?
Anthony breaks the Staples family tradition.
Anthony, let me let you in on a little secret. I don't really like that movie.
Well, let's move on. Move on. Answer Anthony's question. So, do angels have wings?
Let me ask you a question, Anthony. What do you think angels use their wings for?
To fly down.
So they use their wings. So they can angels go to more places than you and me? Like, they can be in a lot of different places, right?
Yeah.
Like, they can get to heaven and here. They're in a lot of different places. It'd be hard for you or me to just go right up to heaven. We wouldn't want to do that right now.
We can only have wings to do that.
You feel like you would need to have wings. That does make sense. If you're going up, you need wings.
So here's the reason, Anthony, that angels are different than us because angels actually don't have bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, when they appear to us, they may look like you or me. They take a form so we can recognize them. So they don't have a body. So when you try, how would you draw something that doesn't have a body? That'd be super hard. So an artist will do things that have like a symbol, and it's a symbol to tell us something. So the wings on an angel are a symbol to tell us they can go to a bunch of different places that you and I can't go. And they're super fast. And they go out and they do that. Does that make sense? It's that symbol?
Yeah.
That's good. Do you have a guardian angel, Anthony?
Yeah.
Yes, you do. You have a guardian angel watching over. You have your mom and your dad and six brothers and sisters and a guardian angel.
And Anthony, I want you to look for something. There's a church, and it's a lot of churches, they have this. But if you ever go to Old Town here in San Diego, the Church of the Immaculate Conception, you go to Old Town, and there's this church called the Immaculate Conception. In the front of it, there are pictures of angels, and the angels have a face and wings, and that's it. They only have a face and wings, and the reason they have a face and wings is that's the artist's way of saying an angel doesn't have a body. Right. But we give them bodies in paintings because it wouldn't be that pretty if it was just a picture of an angel that's immaterial and invisible. Right. So that's why it's a symbol to tell us they can get to lots of places and help people to do God's will. So I'm so glad you stopped by.
Thank you, Anthony. Thank you very much.
Good question.
He has a constant look on his face while you're talking of, I'm not sure about this guy.
You want to ask another question?
Well, Anthony, I have to, because there are two kids waiting on the phone line right now, I have to take their questions. So you can come back, Anthony.
One more question.
No. Yes, we'll do one more when you come back.
You would fit in well with my son, Matthew. He always has one more question. Anthony Columbo Staples, just one more question.
888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. Up next on the phone is Ellie. Ellie is in Oregon. Ellie, are you there with us?
Yes.
How old are you?
11.
You are 11. Okay. And I've been asking around. I just want to get the weather report everywhere in the country. How's the weather in Oregon?
Cloudy.
Cloudy. That's unusual because you rarely get rain or clouds there, I know. But go ahead, Ellie, your question for Mr. Horn.
How did the devil become evil if there was nothing evil before the devil?
Ellie, that's a very good question. And the thing is, we don't know exactly what happened before God created human beings. We know God made the world, and he made the angels, and some of them chose to not follow God. And because God made them before he made the world, they made a choice in eternity. They made one choice to either choose to follow God or to choose to reject God. And that choice can never be undone. So the angels can never undo their choice. Now, you or me, if we choose evil, we can undo that. We can go to confession. We can make a choice to choose God instead. But like the angels, after death, if we've made a choice to be against God and we die, our will and our soul is fixed away from God or fixed towards him. So all we know is that the angels rebelled against God. We know that they had a choice. So, well, what is evil, though? We have to remember this, Ellie. Evil is not like a thing. It's not a black, goopy thing that infects us and makes us do certain stuff. Evil is a lack of good. So evil occurs when goodness is missing from something. So you and I act evil when we don't do virtuous things, when we aren't being good, when we don't choose the good. Evil occurs when good is missing. Now, here's the thing. Only God is perfectly good by his nature because God is infinite. He's not missing anything. But angels are finite creatures. And so they had the capacity to choose at the beginning of time whether they were going to follow the God who created them or not follow him. And we don't know why some of them made another choice, that they have these intellects, like angels are smart and they have all of these good features. And that means they're capable of really great good or really great evil because they have these free wills and these intellects that they can use. And so we don't know why some of them, maybe some of them were so smart like Lucifer. Sometimes some people get so smart, they think they're the greatest thing in the world. Have you ever met someone who's smart, but they're kind of really proud and annoying and obnoxious? Have you ever met someone like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's possible these angels who are super smart with these gifts from God may think, maybe I don't need God. I've just got me and that's all I need. That might make sense because you and I do that too sometimes. You know, we think we just need ourselves. Other people have thought maybe some of the angels who rejected God, it wasn't because they were proud. It's because they were jealous. They might have fallen into the sin of jealousy because they saw God was going to create human beings, and human beings would be very special. The human beings would have the ability to create other human beings, to have the gift of creating human life. Like, even though angels are smart and they have all these things that they can do, angels, there's one thing angels can't do. They can't create other beings like you or me. Only human beings through the sacrament of marriage can create new life, procreate life with God. So some angels may have been jealous that God loved human beings and wanted to exalt one human being. So think about this. Who is the greatest of all of God's creation? Who is the greatest of God's creation? What person?
God himself?
God is, but of all the things God made, what is the most, like, what person, I'll give you a hint, her name starts with an M, is the most special of all the people God made. Yeah. So some of the angels might have been like, why is she the most special of God's creation, this human being who doesn't have all of these wonderful traits that an angel has? Why her? So some of them, they might have been jealous of that and they chose to rebel. We don't exactly know. We can only speculate, but we do know that the angels were free, and evil is not something that infects us. Evil occurs when we choose to take our limited self and our free will, and we choose to aim away from God rather than towards God. And when you have free will, you can do that. And angels had free will, and some of them sadly chose to do that. So is that a helpful answer?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a tough question there, Ellie. You came up with a tough one, but thank you very much for calling us. Well, will you go out and do your best to have a Merry Christmas?
Yes.
Okay, well, thank you for calling. I hope you will call again. We had a great time talking with you. I know Justin's on the line, and we got some other folks on the line. So don't worry. We're going to get to your calls. Don't go anywhere. We're going to do our very best to get to all the callers today, all the kids who have called. And we'll alternate that a little bit here and there with the kids here in the building from Catholic Answers who have been bringing their questions as well. If you are thinking you'd want to call, 888-318-7. 888-318-7884. Up next is Justin in Texas. Are you with us there, Justin?
Yes.
Go ahead. Your question for Trent, Justin.
I wanna know how I could become a better son to my parents, because sometimes I I say mean things or I do mean things without even noticing.
Ah, okay. Okay. Every mother on earth wants you for a son right now, Justin. How can I be a better son to my parents? That is going to take Trent a minute to answer, though. So can you just hang on a quick minute, Justin, because the music's going to play and we got to come back.
Yeah,
is that okay?
This is a very good question, Justin. Please stay with us, all right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much for waiting. Again, 888-318-7884, the number. We're eating more cookies than people should be allowed to eat. We're having more fun than people should be allowed to have because it's the one time a year that all the Catholic Answers kids get to come in and ask their questions. We'll be right back with more of that and kids calling in right after this.
You're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Many Catholics ignore the Bible. They say they have the Church instead. But we should embrace sacred Scripture, not just as the revealed Word of God, but as a Catholic work, intimately connected with the Church from the earliest centuries. In The Bible is a Catholic Book, apologist Jimmy Akin shows how the Bible cannot exist apart from the Church, in its origins, in the truths it contains, in its careful preservation over the centuries. Scripture is inseparable from the Catholic faith. This is fitting, since both come from God for our salvation. If you're a Catholic who sometimes gets intimidated by the Bible is a Catholic Book will help you better understand and take pride in this gift that God gave the world through the Church. After all, Catholics are the original Bible Christians. Order your copy of The Bible is a Catholic Book today by calling 1-844-239-4952, visiting shop.catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
In what forms does the Word of God come to us? How do we know that the Bible is inspired, inerrant, and complete? Why do we need tradition to help us understand Scripture? Doesn't the Bible teach that it alone is sufficient for salvation? In 20 Answers, Scripture and Tradition, you'll find smart, solid answers to these questions and many more, examining the first and most important issue in the Christian faith: the manner in which God has communicated to us the saving truths of the gospel. 20 Answers Scripture and Tradition is part of the 20 Answers series from Catholic Answers, offering hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world, all in a compact, easy-to-read package. Visit shop.catholic.com and take a look at this exciting new series from Catholic Answers Press.
Monday on More to Life, the power of family.
We'll help you create the family life you're longing for.
Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Kids Open Forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Having a lot of fun here in the studio, taking calls and getting to talk with kids here in the studio. 888-31-TRUTH is the number if you are a kid and you have permission to call. But before we go to any other calls or talk to anyone else in the studio, we're on the line with Justin in Texas, who sometimes feels that he's not being a good son. He says things he shouldn't say, and he wants some advice from Trent on being a better son to his parents.
All right, Justin, are you there?
Yes.
So, Justin, it sounds like you want to be a better son, but it feels like something that's keeping you from being a better son are saying things you probably shouldn't say.
Yes.
What kind of things are, you don't have to get into specifics, but what kind of things have you been saying you feel like you shouldn't have said?
Like saying, you don't love me or something like that, you know? Like if like I asked them to get me something from a store and then they said, oh, they forgot. I was like, Ma, you don't love me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, like, after that, I felt like bad. I was like, why did I say that? I don't know.
You probably, when you asked for something and your mom didn't get it for you, you probably, did you feel hurt?
Yeah.
And then sometimes when we feel hurt, in order to feel better, we hurt other people, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's that makes our relationships toxic, and it hurts our relationships. So here's what I would recommend, Justin, to help you be a better son. And all of us can do this for all of our parents and all of our relationships, too. that when we feel hurt by other people, we should try to take that hurt and do something positive with it. So when you feel like your parents, because I might say, well, don't say mean things to them. What's hard is you might get in a situation again where you feel like your parents were unfair or mean and you're angry. And we feel anger when we think something's wrong or when we've been mistreated. So here's my advice for you when you're in those situations. Instead of saying you, say I. So don't say you don't love me. Say I feel this. And you can just say, when this, say, Mom, I feel sad about this. Mom, I feel angry about this. I feel frustrated. I feel like this is unfair. I feel angry about this. And here then, it doesn't feel like attacking. So instead of saying, you know, you don't love me, saying, I feel frustrated you did this, or I feel like things are not fair, or I just feel upset about this. And when you put it that way, the person doesn't take it like an attack. And guess what? This is also free advice for anyone listening with a spouse, your, you know, parents, relatives. When you phrase it in that way, then it's not an attack. Because to be a good child or a good parent doesn't mean you hide your feelings from people. You can say that when you're in those tough times. Now, here's my second piece of advice, that hopefully your relationship with your parents, the tough interactions are few. And what you want to do is you want to balance those out with a lot more positive ones. So when we have more positive interactions, then it helps soften the blow when we have arguments and disagreements, okay? So the Catechism says in paragraphs 2115 through 2116, the fourth commandment, honor thy father and mother, means that we should show parents gratitude for what they've given us, especially the gift of life, and we should be truly docile and obedient. So when you're normal, when you're not having an argument or disagreement, try as much as you can every day to thank your parents. Like, go overboard on thanking them. The best thing you can do to have a good relationship with your parents is to thank them for giving you a ride, a little extra money to help with stuff, meals, you know, a roof over your head, advice. Even if it's small, anytime you can thank your parents, that just makes a parent's heart like swell three times as large. And then be obedient. And even you can say, Mom, this frustrates me, but because I love you, I will obey you. I'm going to do it. And I think that when you're honest and you approach it in that way, you can grow more in the role of a son and learn from them. And then finally, yeah, just talk with them. I think one of the hardest things for parents, they feel like they'll ask someone your age, how is school? This is fine. Share as much as you can with them and keep that communication open. And that really helps parents and is a great way to show love to them. If you can tell them more about as much as you can about your life and to ask them questions about their life and how they're doing. So, man, I'm just throwing this out there. I'm not the perfect child. I'm not the perfect spouse. I know I'm trying to do this as best I can, too. I don't always do it right. But I know that these are good ways to go through it. So is that helpful advice for you?
Yes, very.
Okay.
You're a good man.
You are.
Justin, you really are. Come across as a good man. Never forget that God loves you. We all get frustrated.
And to be a good child, when you are closer to God, when you love God intimately and you know him through prayer, through receiving the Eucharist, when you feel like you're down and out and you go to confession, when you clean sin from your soul, that allows you to be more Christ-like to those you love, especially your family and those closest to you. So also keep that in mind as well. To be a better son of your parents, the first step is to be a better son of our Father who is in heaven.
Okay, Justin?
Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. Have a Merry Christmas, okay?
You too.
Okay, all thank right. you very much. God bless you, brother. What a nice call to get. What a fine, what a fine young
yes.
man. And now we have a fine young woman with us. She's not that young. She's 19 years old. Her name is Hannah. She is the
19,
son.
19.
I am not 19.
Oh, you're not 19. Yeah, well, it's 17 though, right? Something like that. So, no, how old are you, Hannah?
Six.
Oh, you're six.
Wait, okay. No, I'm seven.
You're seven.
Hannah Staples. Father's Tim Staples.
Yeah, who's not feeling well today.
Hannah, how old is your dad?
Well, I forgot how old he is.
Take a guess.
Somewhere between 54 and 56.
57?
Close, 55. He seems like he's 57, though, but he's only 55.
Well, you took all the joy out of kids say the darndest thing, Si.
Oh, sorry.
Sometimes you joke around.
Who jokes around?
You.
I do?
Yeah, sometimes you do.
Have I ever shown you a magic trick?
Yes, at our house.
Yeah. So I can be helpful, too. I realize that I joke around a lot, but I can also be helpful, too, Hannah. You got a question for Mr.
Horn?
Yeah,
what's your question?
Well, it's how do I be a saint?
Oh my gosh! Just never change.
You just be who you are right now, just Hannah.
Who you are,
you are
right now.
On your way.
Let me ask you a question, Hannah. Do you love God? Do you love God more than anything in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Do you love your parents?
Yeah.
Do you do what your parents tell you to do?
Yeah.
Most of the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Be who you are. Don't change. You're going to grow. You're going to get older. You're going to learn a lot more.
But stay close to God.
But here's the thing. Jesus said that you had to have the faith like a child to enter into heaven. So what that means to be a saint is that as you get older, there's lots of things in this world that will seem really important or really take up your attention you never thought about right now. Don't worry about those things. Mm-hmm. Loving God, loving your parents, loving people who need you. That's what's most important. And when you do that, well, here's the thing. Where are the saints right now? Where do they live?
In heaven.
Uh-huh. And what keeps us from heaven? What's the one thing we do that would keep us from going to heaven? Starts with an S, S-I-N.
Satan.
Sin.
Sin. I thought she said Santa, but that's a different show.
Yeah.
Satan.
You were
yes.
in the right ballpark.
You were
yeah.
in the yeah. It starts with an S and ends with an N.
I saw a movie and it showed a picture of a little girl. Like, there was a boy showing videos, but then he said, yeah, she loves her mom and dad. But after he said, fine, I'll show you the reason. And he said, I love Satan.
Oh,
ooh,
no.
That is scary. That is very scary.
That sounds like a scary movie.
You can always tell your parents
girl,
about that if you see something
really
like that.
No, that really happened. A little girl was smiling right in this little picture and said that.
That is so scary.
Oh, my gosh. So how do we get to heaven? We don't love Satan. We don't do any of the bad things he wants us to do. We love God and Jesus and always ask Jesus to help us to be close to him and do what he wants us to do. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do that, you'll be a saint. So thank you, Hannah.
You did
so
a really good job,
down.
Hannah. Can I ask you something before you leave?
What?
Are you saying I joke around too much?
No.
Oh, it's the right amount?
Well, at home, you really make us laugh sometimes.
Oh, Mr. Horn, did you hear that? Did you hear that?
I did hear that, Si.
I feel so happy. I want to go to a break right now. I want to take a break. Thank you, Hannah. You can come over and give me five if you want before you go, but thank you. Taking a break.
This is Bishop Chad Zielinski from the Diocese of Fairbanks of Northern Alaska, and you are listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul's Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demetay and Aaron Richards is our show for young adults.
Everybody's talking about encounter. Everybody's talking about that mountaintop experience. What we fail to often talk about is what happens after. What happens beyond that Damascus moment?
Jesus Christ is calling all of us to be missionary disciples, disciples of Jesus who are on mission to bring the kingdom of God here and now on this earth.
Beyond Damascus with Dan Demetay and Aaron Richards, tomorrow at 8 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
I'm going to have such a great weekend. Hannah said I'm just the right amount of funny. So right there, it's funny because I always thought I annoyed Hannah just a little bit. But I'm very happy to hear that. It's Kids Open Forum. You can ask, if you are a kid, you can ask any question you want about God, about Jesus, about the Bible, about right and wrong, about angels, about prayers. Anything you got, you're welcome to ask. And we have Trent Horn here to answer your questions. And a couple kids have been waiting a while on the line, so let's get to them. Nicholas in El Paso, Texas. Are you there with us, Nicholas?
Yes.
And how old are you, Nicholas?
I'm 10.
Well, thank you very much for calling us. What is your question for Mr. Horn?
How come Noah lived 600 years old?
Apparently he ate right and got his exercise. Is that wrong?
Well, there's lots of different ways one could approach the question. I'm sure that Noah learned a lot in his time following God. He definitely got a lot of exercise building an ark. So maybe that helped keep him young and fit and trim and full of vigor. So, Nicholas, I guess, are you wondering that human beings, we only live to be like, you know, at most like 100 or 110 years old now? How could Noah live to be 600 back then? Is that what you're wondering?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there's two ways we could look at this. One is that there's a lot of people in this part of the Bible. It's Genesis chapter 5, and it talks about how they lived a really long time. The longest one is a guy named Methuselah. He almost lived to be 1,000 years old. So what we could say is that God interacted in this part of salvation history and rewarded these righteous people who followed him with very long lifespans. I mean, if God can make a whole universe, he can keep somebody like you or me alive for a long time. That's nothing for God to do. It'd be a special reward from God for special people and a special time in salvation history. That's one way to look at it. It might also be the case that this part of the Bible in Genesis chapter 5 is not literally saying that these men lived to be 600 or 800 or 900 years old, but this could be a way of describing someone being really great. It's a figure of speech, like saying that Noah was so great in his normal life, he did what would take a regular person. He did so many good things, it would take a normal person 600 years to do that many good things. And so it's kind of a figure of speech. And in fact, there is an archaeological document about people who lived around this same time period called the Sumerian Kings List. And on that list, there are kings of this ancient place called Sumer, S-U-M-E-R, people like Aga of Kish, for example. And that document says it describes them as living for like 500 or 600 years. And that shows that it might have been a figure of speech in the time of Noah to describe really great people as living for a long time, even if they didn't literally live that long. So is that a helpful explanation?
Yeah, it is.
Okay, great.
Well, that sounded like a satisfied customer. Thank you, Nicholas. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right. I hope you'll call us again sometime. It was nice talking with you. It is Kids Open Forum today. Kids calling, kids coming in. Unfortunately, we can't give any cookies to the kids who are calling, but we've had wonderful callers. And Mary's been waiting quite a while. Mary is in Nebraska. Are you there with us, Mary?
Yeah.
And how old are you, Mary?
9.
And how is the weather in Nebraska, Mary?
Good.
Good. Oh, I'm glad to hear it. And do you have a question for Mr. Horn?
Yeah.
All right. Fire away. Give him your question.
If God didn't need us, why did he create us?
That's a good question, Mary. I'll summarize it this way. God made us not because he needs us, but because we need him. So did you know that the Bible says that God is love?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what does it mean to love someone? What do you do when you love somebody? Do you like do nice things for them and help them?
Yeah.
You always try to take care of them and make sure you have good things for them. So you do good things for people you love, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have, you know, your parents and your friends, they love you and they always want to do good things for you, right? As much as they can.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's what it means to love, means you do good for another person and you provide for their needs and you do good for them. So God, he isn't just loving. God actually is love itself. And that's just amazing. Love, that's what God is. God is love. God just is goodness itself. And God has so much goodness, it basically is explodes beyond him. It's super abundant, as we say. So God has all this love and it just flows out from him. And God takes this love and creates us so that we benefit. And so God made us not for his good, but for our good. He made us so that we could just benefit and have infinite goodness from him for the rest of our lives and eternity with him. So God made us not because we need him, but because it was a sheer loving act of goodness. God wanted to share his love with many, many other creatures so they could benefit from him. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for calling.
So if that means God loves Mary too, though.
Yes.
Like Mary in Nebraska.
God loves Mary in Nebraska. God loves Rose in San Diego, California. Sighing, San Diego. God loves everyone, and he wants everyone to be saved and have eternal life with him. And he loves you very much, and never forget that, Mary, all right?
Okay.
Mary, try to have a Merry Christmas, okay?
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you again sometime. I like that, Mary. She sounds all right to me. We got more kids on the line, but I have to go to a studio guest now once again. She has asked us a question previously. She read an ad for us, and now she's back with another question. Rose Staples, your question, please.
If Adam and Eve hadn't committed original sin, then would we live forever and never die?
That's a very good question, Rose. And once again, we're getting into the area of speculation of what would have happened if. So we don't have a lot of definitive things. Well, what we do know is that death was never a part of God's original plan for us. We know that death entered the world, as St. Paul says in Romans chapter 5, death for human beings. Now, animals might have and probably did die before human beings came onto the scene, but death was never a part of God's plan for us. So we know that what caused death for us was humanity's sin. So if human beings never sinned, if none of them ever sinned at all, then they wouldn't have died. They would have enjoyed paradise. They would have lived on earth free of illness or sickness or death. And God would have provided for the human race as it grew in its population. And how he would have done that? Well, we don't know, but he's omnipotent, so he can do all kinds of great things. He could have made the earth more efficient, helped human beings to sustain their existence, and who knows, maybe even create some more planets for us as we grew in numbers. But unfortunately, that is not what happened. We have sin, but we have the promise of eternal life through Christ, who's the new Adam. So does that make sense?
Yes.
Thanks, right. Rose. It's always pleasant to have you around, Rose. Trent, we got just a few minutes left, and we got two kids on the line, so we'll try to get to both of them. Mm-hmm. And up first, and you're doing a really good job, Trent, because I know you saw your boys out there.
I know.
There.
I almost but, let them come in. Who cares?
What do you mean, who cares?
Let the children come to me.
Jamie in Utah.
They're adorable.
They are adorable. Jamie in Utah, you are next. Are you there with us, Jamie?
Yes.
And how old are you, Jamie?
12.
And how's the weather in Utah?
Great.
Oh, good. All right. That's very good. Your question for Mr. Horn.
My question is, did the Blessed Virgin Mary suffer birth pains when she was having baby Jesus?
That's a good question, Jamie. And the church's traditional teaching is that our Blessed Mother Mary did not suffer any pain when she gave birth to Jesus. And the reason for that is because Mary was saved. She was preserved from original sin. And if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, when it talks about the fall of man, God talked about what the consequences would be when Adam and Eve rebelled. And so Adam would suffer a lot more when he worked. And Eve and her descendants, women, would suffer pains of childbirth that were not a part of God's plan. And so since Mary is a part of the redemption of God's plan coming into its fullness through Christ, she did not suffer from birth pains. That's what the church is traditionally taught. And in fact, there is a very, very old document that going all the way back to the beginning of the church's history. I believe it's called the Odes of Solomon, that describes how Mary did not have pain when she gave birth. So even the very first Christians recognized this and saw that Mary, it was through Mary that original sin was reversed, that the curse of sin was broken. And part of breaking that curse is that when God came into the world, he came not to destroy, but to save and to heal. And so Mary was preserved from experiencing pain. And we see this implicitly in the Gospels. And it says that Mary, after she gave birth, she wrapped Jesus in a cloth. And it seemed like she was not debilitated, as happens more with births, other births throughout history, where there's pain and other things like that associated with it. So I hope that's helpful for you. And I'm glad that you called in.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you.
All right. God bless you, sister. Have a very Merry Christmas. Let's do our very best to get Asher in here before we have to go. Asher in Omaha, Nebraska. We already know the weather's good in Omaha because someone just told us. Asher, how old are you?
12.
12. Well, thank you for your call. What is your question for Trent Horn?
Why does God let people be abused?
That is a sad question. Is there a particular reason you ask that, Asher, or were you just wondering?
I was just wondering.
Mm-hmm. Well, the question is kind of like a bigger question that we'd have to ask, and that's this: why does God let bad things happen? And the answer is that God wanted us to be truly human, and he made us. And because we're truly human, we have freedom. We have a free will. And so we can choose God or we cannot choose God. So God made us, and God could have kept us from hurting other people. He could have kept us from abusing each other, from hurting each other. He could just make us always do good things. He could program us like robots. But God wanted us to be really human, to be able to choose him and to really love one another. Because here's the thing, like if we were forced to love other people, that wouldn't really be love, because if you're forced to do it, it's not love. It's not good anymore. You're forced to do it. You're kind of like a robot. And so because God lets us choose, sometimes we do choose right. We choose love and we help others. But other times we don't choose the right thing and people get hurt, and it's sad. And it reminds us, even when we see like abuse, it reminds us that there is good and evil, and human beings can't change that. We don't get to decide what's good and evil. God decides that. Morality comes from him. Good and evil comes from the law of God. And if you break that law, there will be consequences. And so we can know that because God is all powerful and all knowing and all loving, people who suffer in this life, they can be compensated with infinite happiness in the next life. That even no matter what they suffer here, God can make up for that when they go to heaven. But those who were the abusers, who choose to not repent and give themselves over to evil, God can bring about justice, so those people will never abuse anyone ever again, because they'll be separated from all of God's children by being put in hell, where they'll just get themselves for all eternity. So we don't always know why God lets bad things happen, but we do know that God is all-powerful. He can always bring more good from any evil. He can comfort those who are afflicted, even with infinite happiness, and he'll always bring justice to those who hurt others and refuse to repent. So that can give us hope until we get to the end of time and see God face to face and see how everything makes sense. So does that start to make sense for you?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right, Asher, have a Merry Christmas, all right?
You too.
Oh, thank you. You're an awful nice guy. Thank you very much, Asher. They can come in if they want. We're about to wrap it up.
Let's see what happens. We got
wild
a few minutes.
Horn boys.
Few minutes
coming
of
in.
Live radio. You never know what
actually,
the horn boys will do.
We're done.
Come
Trent
on.
Horn has been our guest. He's the father of these two fine boys walking in the studio right now. Trent Horn can be found at the Council of Trent. That's his podcast, and you can find that at TrentHornPodcast.com. He's also the author of a whole bunch of great books. That you can find at shop.catholic.com. You can say goodbye.
What? You want to say bye?
I was going to ask a new question.
Well, maybe for the next show, okay? Sounds good. We'll get you on the next question.
Say bye, everybody.
Say bye, everyone.
Can I do that later?
Yeah, you can do that later. Sure, later. No problem. Jesus Christ is the light of the nations, and we'll see you next time on Catholic Answers Live.